Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. I'm going to start with the six-week sprint. The Supreme Court race started Tuesday. It ends April 4. And I want to give you a perspective of why I think that Janet Protasiewicz is going to beat Kelly, Dan Kelly. And these are some facts that you know and you may not have thought about anytime recently. Back in 2020, Dan Kelly was on the ballot also. Dan Kelly was on the Supreme Court, never elected. He'd been appointed by Scott Walker. And he was up for an election in 2020 to supposedly ratify that selection. And he was running against a woman named Jill Karofsky, Dane County judge, very, very fine judge. Now, remember 2020, is April of 2020. Remember the obstacles that Jill Karofsky, first of all, as a challenger, and second of all, as the more liberal of the two, had to face. First of all, there was really greatly reduced numbers of polling stations, especially in Milwaukee, but also statewide. Why was that? Because we were in the middle of the pandemic. Remember, the pandemic broke in roughly January or February of 2020, and the vaccine didn't come on board till a year later. And this was no laughing matter. If you got COVID in April of 2020, you could die. You saw it on all the news. Nurses, doctors going in hazmat suits, and some of them unfortunately getting infected and dying. It was a very big deal to go out. It was a very big deal to go somewhere where there are other people. In Milwaukee, which normally has several hundred polling stations, Milwaukee has a population of almost 600,000 people, the county about 1 million people. City of Milwaukee had 5 polling stations, and I'm not mistaken in that number, 5, not 180 or more, 5. There were long lines in urban polling stations. There were short lines in suburban polling stations. Many people couldn't stay in line. It was also raining and there was a hailstorm. So you had to stand in line for a long time in Milwaukee in one of the 5 polling stations. There were some suggestions, which I won't develop further, that we could have had more polling stations if poll workers had been paid more money. Milwaukee only paid them, I think it was $130 for the day. I think Dane County may have increased it to a little over 200, and that there were people on the ballot that benefited from having few polling stations. We're not going to get into all that, but there were 5 polling stations. And there were long lines in Milwaukee, and a lot of people didn't bother to vote. It was raining and it was hailing. And this, of course, would be where there would be a lot of votes for Jill Karofsky as opposed to Dan Kelly. In spite of all of that, Jill Karofsky beat Dan Kelly by a wide margin, by a wide margin. If it hadn't been raining and hailing, if there hadn't been COVID, wishes were fishes, we'd have some to fry. Wishes were horses and beggars would ride. If ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd have Christmas every day. But. It was what it was. And Jill Karofsky won anyway. She would have won even bigger in any kind of normal April election. She was benefited by the fact that it was a presidential primary. But by that point, on the Democratic side, it was clear Joe Biden was going to be it. His opponents basically had endorsed him. It was a great victory for Jill Karofsky. So this guy, Dan Kelly, tries to make a comeback this time around on April 4. On April 4, and it will not be a presidential primary, and there won't be that kind of turnout, but there also won't be the fear about COVID. There are vaccines. I don't know if it'll be raining and hailing. I suspect it won't, but even if it is, so what? And remember a couple of things. Dan Kelly is the guy that took $120,000 from the Republican Party, combination of the National Party and the State Party, to advise them on fake electors. Andrew Hitt, former chairman of the Republican Party, said that under oath to the January 6th committee to save his own worthless behind. He was a fake elector himself. And nobody's prosecuted him? What, Garland's not prosecuting him? Call's not prosecuting him? Guy's going to skate free? He's afraid he might not skate free. It's still possible for him to be prosecuted. He said in that interview that Dan Kelly was the special counsel to the Republicans to advise them on fake electors. Fake electors. To earn his $120,000, Dan Kelly also went around the state with Gableman. Remember Gableman? Remember Gableman, Mike Gableman? Spent over $2 million in taxpayer money now on a fake investigation of fraud. And it's going to go over $3 million because he got sued several times. And we're apparently paying his attorney's fees. This is courtesy of the gerrymandered Speaker Voss, who is basically burning taxpayer money on this. This is wrong. This is very, very wrong. On his ethics disclosure, Kelly reported that he is essentially the spokesperson for the Republican Party. In 2020, when he did run the last time, he ran his campaign out of the Republican Party headquarters in Dane County. And the clown says, well, I haven't made up my mind on what? You vote with your feet. You vote with your wallet. You took $120,000 to try to gin up this fake elector thing. Fake electors. This was a coup, a takeover of a democratically elected president. That's what they were trying to do, Joe Biden. Now, I'm going to throw something out that you have not read in any newspaper. Maybe there are some of you who are investigative reporters out there, journalists. Maybe there's some of you who know reporters at your local newspaper. Pass this on to them. My question to Dan Kelly is this, and this question should be posed to him by reporters and everybody listening to the show, Republican or Democrat. You've disclosed that you got $120,000. We know that $40,000 of it was after you announced for Supreme Court. And we know that most recently you cashed a check for a payment in December. But our question to you is this. It's not uncommon for people who want to see a guy elected to put him on retainer and pay him monthly, even during the campaign. Here's the question to Dan Kelly, quote, are you still getting money from the Republican Party? Are you getting any money, whether it is disguised as legal fees, a retainer, from any PAC associated with the Republican Party or any PAC that somehow supports Republican candidates? Are you getting any money from the Elines of Illinois, who own Uline Company? Are you getting any money from Diane Hendricks? Because Kelly has his own law firm. He's not affiliated with any large law firm anymore. And he has to support himself. And what I am describing has been known to occur with other candidates. I do not know if it's occurring with him, but I think that question should be asked. It's all well and good to say you took $120,000. It's all well and good to say 40 of it was after you announced. It's all well and good to say that the last check was in December. But what are you getting ostensibly in your law firm as a retainer, as a, in effect, support money during this campaign? That question has got to be asked. That question is best asked by journalists. The obligation to disclose it is not clear. If it's a campaign contribution, of course, it has to be disclosed. But people with great wealth, and some of the people I've described have great wealth, could write a $100,000 check or $10,000 or $20,000 a month check the way you would write a $5 check. It would literally mean nothing to them. Is that happening now? Is he continuing to get money? Why did the payment stop in December? Why did it stop after he'd already announced? Was it because the money was deposited as a campaign contribution, which had to be disclosed, as opposed to a retainer or some amount to a private law firm? Over and above everything I have just described, remember the issues here. They couldn't be more stark. Kelly has said he will not do anything to stop gerrymandering. He's already said that he views it as a political question, and a gerrymandered legislature, in his mind, can continue to gerrymander itself. Janet Protasiewicz has said that she will get rid of gerrymandering. The maps are rigged. On the 1849 statute, nobody likes abortion. They should be very rare. But like Bill Clinton said, legal and safe. And the 1849 statute was passed 174 years ago by a legislature that women couldn't vote for. If they tried to vote, they would have gone to jail. It's based on early 19th century science, not even later 19th century science. Kelly will uphold it. Protasiewicz will hold it unconstitutional. And the final thing is, whoever wins the 2024 election, Protasiewicz will certify him. Doesn't matter if it's a Republican or not. Kelly will only certify a Republican. The issue is joined. The game is afoot, Watson. I see you on the lines. Do not hang up. I got to go to a quick break, and I'll get back to you right after the break. 844-967-2789.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines in order. Do not hang up. I'll get you in order. We'll start with Jean of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind Day, Jean.
Hi. Could we add the Federalist Society and Wealth to that list of, I don't know if they can give money to candidates, but they probably can somehow give support to candidates. I'm concerned about those bodies involved in our state. In addition to that, I have a question real quick, and that is regarding if a Republican gets that empty Senate seat, I've heard rumor, and I don't know if this is true, Matt, but if they decide they want to impeach, Republicans want to impeach, like our Attorney General or our Governor Evers, you know, for some reason or another, if that goes to a Republican. Now, our governor's working really hard in our state, going to all the different counties and cities and seeing what right. people need and trying to right. meet the needs of our community that have been neglected for many years. And also our Attorney General, you know, when they try to protect
let me
people,
answer your question, Jean. Let me answer your question. First of all, as far as who can contribute, if they contribute to a political action committee or to a candidate, it has to be disclosed. But any of those entities that you mentioned could theoretically retain, end quote, his law firm to, quote, consult, end quote, on legal services. And they may take the position it's not a contribution. That's why I think it's important to ask him directly, call him, text him. Are you getting any money in your law firm as a retainer or otherwise from the Republican Party or any PAC affiliated or any entity affiliated with the Republican Party, ostensibly as consulting services? With regard to the state Senate, you're absolutely right. If a bad bounce occurs and the Republican wins on April 4 in the 8th Senate District in the northern part of Milwaukee County, they can impeach. They'll have two-thirds. That's not subject to veto. That's why it's essential to elect Janet Protasiewicz, because that would then go to the Supreme Court. There are standards in the Constitution on when they can impeach. It has to be for a cause or a reason. They would like to impeach Evers and Call. They've already said that. They should not be permitted to. The Supreme Court should stand in the way. But with the present Supreme Court, they might not stand in the way. That's why it's essential to elect Janet Protasiewicz, because they would hold that that impeachment is unconstitutional, and they're the only people who can do it. Thanks for calling a lot, Gene. Steve in Milwaukee, my friend, you're next. Thanks for calling, Steve. What's in your mind?
Hey, Matt. Sorry to change the subject, but I got to ask you, what do you think of Trump giving the Ohio people 13-year-old water from his Trump water company? I wonder if he gave them his Trump steaks to go with that.
How about tuition at Trump University? Look, here's the deal. What Steve is raising, and I'm happy to just hit it real quick. What Steve is raising is Trump immediately, it's sort of like a fly buzzing around you know what. He goes to the Ohio train derailment. Now, that was toxic chemicals on something like 11 cars, and actually 30 cars, and I think 11 of them had toxic material in them. It was a terrible thing. And a couple of points to be made. One is Trump rolled back when he was president safety measures involving the brakes, saying that they were unnecessary regulations. Now, in fairness, I want to say this. There is a question whether the train involved would have been subject to the regulations he rolled back or not. So I'm not going to comment on that. But the clown shows up and he blames Biden for going to Ukraine. And then what really kills me is he has been described as fat phobic, although I don't know why. I mean, he himself doesn't eat a lot of salads. OK, I mean, but the point of the matter is the mayor of one of the towns there of East Palestine was a Republican, but said, I don't want politicians sniffing around here looking for publicity. So therefore, Trump retaliated. And here's what he goes. That mayor, by the way, is quite obese. He's just quite obese. He said, where's the mayor? He's not hard to spot. And then he left. You know, Trump goes into these places and actually disgraces himself. He disgraces himself. He disgraces the country. And we're going to talk a little later about some of the things he said about Kim Jong-un, about Putin siding with them. He sided with Kim Jong-un against South Korea and the United States. And I'll describe that after the break. And he sides with Putin. He still sides with Putin. He said that he admires Putin, that the Putin was provoked. This guy, if he gets into the presidency ever, he has already betrayed the United States. He'll pull us out of NATO, and he will, frankly, trigger an invasion of Taiwan by China, and he will trigger worse genocide in Ukraine. And Steve's question was a good one. He goes, well, what about what he did when he went to East Palestine? And frankly, he's blaming Biden just for going to Ukraine. He does not care. The guy doesn't care about what happens to the people of East Palestine. He was simply sniffing around looking for publicity. That's very, very wrong. We're going to a break shortly. I see you in the lines. Do not hang up. I will get back to you right after the break. But what he said about Kim Jong-un, I'll just fill in the blanks here. He said when Kim Jong-un was justified in his missile tests, he said that he feels threatened by the U.S. Hey, we're the U.S., Jack, and by South Korea. And then he goes, and this is unbelievable. He says, South Korea pays us very little to do these extremely expensive and provocative drills, and it is ridiculous. This is Trump sticking up for Kim Jong-un, who tortured Otto Warmbier to death. Otto Warmbier was the University of Virginia student who tortured him because Trump had insulted him. He'd insulted Kim Jong-un for being Little Rocket Man. and now he's trying to suck up to him. This guy is dangerous to the United States, and I mean Trump. He's dangerous to the United States. He can never get back in the presidency. Going to break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We go right to the lines. Jack of Merrimack, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Jack?
Yeah, thank you. I'm just thinking that Dan Kelly has a few ethical challenges. Seems to me that he bragged already that he could raise more money in, I mean, donations than almost any other candidate. He obviously has already taken money from Republicans, and the U-lines are supporting him. And, oh, yeah, there was some little thing about elections, and he recused himself because he was in that election, and he lost the election and unrecused himself. What was that about? I forget the exact situation. Did that have to do with drop boxes or something like that?
Yeah, well, here, let me dig down on everything that you're saying right now, because, Jack, you're right on the money about this guy. First of all, he accused Janet Protasiewicz of somehow prejudging a case because she's pro-choice. He's pro-life, okay? I mean, you know, but more importantly, he's already said if a redistricting case comes before him, he is not going to accept review of it because he thinks it's a political question. He's prejudged it before he read the briefs. But more importantly, and I'm much more interested in how we beat this guy. Remember, he attacked Jennifer Doro, the other conservative. He said he wouldn't support her. And his flacks who are supporting him, Rebecca Grassl Bradley on the Supreme Court, not the good Bradley, not Ann Walsh Bradley, but Rebecca Grassl Bradley and this Grogan from the Court of Appeals in Waukesha, both of them attacked Doro for him. And you know what that reminds me? That reminds me of what happened down in Arizona with Carrie Lake. When she ran for governor, she attacked John McCain and viciously, and she ended up losing by, 14,000 votes or something. And a lot of Republicans who like John McCain, and frankly, I like John McCain, said, we're not going to vote for this this woman. That is, I think, happening to Kelly as well, even though Protasiewicz is way ahead of him in other respects. So he attacked Doro viciously. You saw some of the ads. He also said she's not a conservative. And let me just leave this issue as follows. Everybody out there, this is not a race between a Democrat and a Republican. This is not a race between a liberal and a conservative. This is a race between American democracy and commie government. Gerrymandering is commie government. Judges who will not certify the winner of a presidential election are part of commie government. We see commie government elsewhere in the world. We see it in Asia. We see it in Russia. We see it in Communist China. We see it in Africa. We don't see it in the United States, but it's creeping in. Fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. Jack, thanks a lot for calling in. Now, I want to talk about Ron DeSantis. And this is important because Ron DeSantis right now is second to Trump in the polls. There's a split in the Republican Party. Ron DeSantis is getting apparently in the polls, the support of independents and Republicans who are of higher income and have had higher education, and Trump the opposite and so on. But let me tell you something that DeSantis just did in Florida that is shocking and is dangerous. He is supporting and he will sign legislation that will make it easy for people to sue the media for defamation. Now, defamation is the umbrella term for libel and slander. Libel is written defamation. Slander is verbal defamation. There's one exception to that. If you defame somebody on television or radio, it's considered libel, even though it's verbal, because of the range of the audience. And there's some slight differences in damages and proof, which we're not going to get into. What is defamation, the umbrella? Defamation is when you say or write something that is untrue and tends to lower the person you said about in the esteem of the community. That's what defamation is. Now, in 1964, that's 60 years ago almost, the U.S. Supreme Court issued this decision, New York Times versus Sullivan, where they made it very difficult to sue the media for defamation if you're a public figure. If you're an elected official, for instance, or a Hollywood celebrity. And here's the idea behind that. If you're an elected official or a Hollywood celebrity, and the media says something about you that isn't true or is not entirely true, you have plenty of avenues to resist it. If you hold a press conference, people will cover it. You can say that's false. Here's the proof. Because if you let them sue you, if you let them sue without that protection, if you let them sue public figures, nowadays you're going to get billionaires will support that lawsuit to bankrupt small papers and bankrupt small TV stations. Trump did that, by the way, a couple of years ago when he was president. He sued the Rhinelander television station because they put on an ad that had been produced by the Lincoln Project that just put his statements showing he was lying. When he would say things like, COVID's nothing, don't worry about it. Then he would show an interview, I knew it was very serious, just juxtaposing them. He didn't dare sue ABC or NBC or the Milwaukee stations because they have money, but the Rhinelander station yanked the ad. They yanked the ad, even though it was only his own words. They yanked the ad. So the teaching of New York Times versus Sullivan is that the media, even if they say something that is not true, as long as they didn't do it deliberately, or as long as they didn't do it recklessly, Supreme Court used the word malice, but it's not the kind of malice you're thinking. It means recklessly. In other words, one simple phone call could have cleaned it up. As long as they don't do that, and in good faith they say it, even if it's not true about a public figure, the public figure can't sue. Because a public figure just hold a press conference. Say, I'm a public figure. Say it's Tom Hanks. Let's say it's Barbara Streisand. Let's say it's Joe Biden. No, it's not true, blah, blah, blah. That takes care of that. Now, insidiously, in this Florida statute, DeSantis has wanted to bankrupt the mainstream media, and fascism is creeping in on more than little cat's feet. Now it's big cat's feet. Big cat's feet. So he passes the statute. He gets his henchmen to do it. He's going to sign it. And part of it asks the Supreme Court to reverse New York Times versus Sullivan, right in the statute, right in it, right in the legislative history. And unfortunately, there are 9 Supreme Court justices. I talk about the 6 tarantulas. 3 of them have already said they want to overturn New York Times versus Sullivan. Clarence Thomas, Alito, and Gorsuch have already said it. All they need is 1 more to hear an overturning and 2 more to overturn it. And then the only people who are going to be able to print something about public figures, because every time they do it, if it's negative, there'll be a lawsuit and they'll be bankrupted. They'll go through depositions. They'll go through everything. And even if they win, you don't get your attorney's fees. In England, merry old England, Britain, the winner gets his attorney's fees from the loser. That's called the English doctrine. In America, the American doctrine is each side eats his own attorney's fees unless there is some sort of misconduct involved, which is very, very hard to prove. They are trying with this statute and 3 of the 6 tarantulas to bankrupt the media if they purport to say anything negative about a public figure, even if it's true. There are other defenses that have cropped up under New York Times versus Sullivan. I've tried cases under that statute, and I've won them, defending the media. I represent the media for almost 40 years. TV station, radio station, magazine, books, elsewhere. Here's another doctrine under it. If it's a statement of opinion, you can't sue them even if it's false. Guy says, in my opinion, and he says something about somebody, that's good enough. It's his opinion. That's all it is. There's also a doctrine that's grown up under the New York Times versus Sullivan called a limited purpose public figure. And I won a case on that too. Even if a guy is not a public figure, if he's swept up in a case or controversy or matter that has wide public attention, you can comment on it and him and his involvement. And even though he's personally not a public figure, he's involved in a public issue. And then he has to prove that what you said was false deliberately or recklessly. It has saved the media. And saving the media saves our democracy. Look what's happening in Russia, in China, elsewhere in Asia, other than Japan, in Africa. There is no free media. They'll throw them in jail or they'll bankrupt them. Ron DeSantis is emblematic of the fascist intrusion into the Republican Party. The Supreme Court cannot be permitted to overturn New York Times versus Sullivan. But under this Florida statute, what's going to happen is billionaires are going to bankroll. They're going to bankroll certainly Florida newspapers and TV stations and maybe national ones who comment on Florida public figures and otherwise, and force the issue to the U.S. Supreme Court. This is happening under your nose. You know, when I say at the beginning of a show, you're not woke if you don't know history, and we're going to get right to the front lines of history in the making. History is being made every waking and sleeping second in your life. Looking back on it, you'll say, oh my God, that happened when I was alive. That happened. I remember where I was. That is happening right now in the Republican Party. It's happening in Florida. It's happening because Ron DeSantis is pushing this. Ron DeSantis, in my judgment, is making a very big mistake. What he is doing is worse than a crime. It is a blunder because the Republican Party is right to have somebody with integrity, somebody who can be conservative, but believes in democracy and believes in the rule of law. We have that in Liz Cheney, and we have that in Adam Kinzinger, and they've been vilified in the Republican Party. We have it somewhat in Mitt Romney. He did vote to convict on impeachment issues, convict Trump twice. I've said before, I'll say it now, they feel that a team of Romney and Liz Cheney as their ticket, it would do very well, but they're not going to because fascism creeps in on little cats. So if you are thinking at all out there, and I know many of you are not, but some of you may, that somehow DeSantis is a guy who's different from Trump, better than Trump, that somehow he'll correct things, he is going out of his way to undermine American democracy in a very insidious way, because he's a little smoother than Trump. This Florida statute, keep an eye on it. It will end up in the U.S. Supreme Court. The six tarantulas will have a go at it. Three of the tarantulas are for getting rid of New York Times versus Sullivan. About letting billionaires come right in and fund lawsuits to bankrupt TV stations, bankrupt newspapers, and in effect, take any comment on public figures out of the equation. They can get away with whatever they want. Like Trump, how many times have I said he wants to take us out of NATO? He's essentially said that, but he would sue the station about that if the Florida statute became law nationwide. Be very, very careful about this. It is the hallmark of our democracy and the hallmark of our First Amendment. We're going to break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
the ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
Don't let me down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for going Western Mind today, Paul.
Hey, good afternoon, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to give a little shout-out to Janet P. Supreme Court ads. I think they've been spot on up to this point. I think she's run an awesome ad campaign on TV and radio, so I hope they can keep up that work. I think she's, in the end, going to win. So that's all I have for you today, and thanks for your show, Matt.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. And I second that. And I want to say something else. I mean, we talked a lot about that race on the show and today. But one of the other things to keep in mind, you know, she never attacked the other liberal in the race, Everett Mitchell, never attacked him. And the entire Democratic Party and a lot of independents and moderate Republicans are behind her. There's a vicious fight on the Republican side. And Kelly attacked Doro, in my view, unfairly and said he wouldn't support her. And now he's demanding that she support him. And she was generous. She said, I will. But there's a bad taste on that side of it. But the other thing why it's essential, there are many reasons why it's essential. And I've talked about gerrymandering. I've talked about the 1849 statute. I've talked about certifying the winner of the presidential election. But the other thing is this, and we alluded to it. If the Republicans keep a two-thirds majority in the Senate, and the 8th Senate District, we have a great candidate, Jody Habersynnikin, and I think she'll win, but if she does not win, they can just carte blanche impeach the governor and the attorney general and the secretary of state, Doug LaFalla. They can impeach whoever they want, and there is only one thing stopping them, and that's the Wisconsin Supreme Court, because the standards for impeachment set out in the Constitution. And they have no basis to impeach anybody. But they'll do it because it's corrupt. Gerrymandering is corrupt. You must understand that. And Janet Protasiewicz, with a 4-3 majority, would put him in their place. If Kelly gets on, he'll be leading the charge against him. He's the guy that went around the state with Gableman. Okay, two things I want to talk about very briefly in the time remaining. One of them is you saw that this Emily Kors, K-O-H-R-S, who was the foreperson of the Atlanta grand jury, shot her mouth off, gave a lot of interviews, grinning and rolling her eyes and saying she was starstruck. She loved Lindsey Graham, Giuliani, and all this, and absolutely violated her requirement under Georgia law to not talk about the deliberations of the grand jury. She should go to jail. And I mean that. She should be held in contempt. Why do I say that? Because now a number of the GOP witnesses who know very well that they are one of the ones that they've suggested should be indicted. Remember, this grand jury is an advisory grand jury. It's not a real grand jury. They can suggest to Fannie Willis, the DA, who's terrific, very strong, that they indict some of these people. And Emily Kors shot her mouth off and said there were a lot of them, even though she didn't name them. Now Fannie Willis can go to a regular grand jury, get indictments, and then prosecute them. And they are all going to, and they're bringing motions to quash any possible indictment because of misconduct by the foreperson of the jury. We've got to stand up to that. This is contempt. It's contempt, and it's a violation of Georgia law. You know, I think, oh, well, she's a little nitwit and airhead who is enjoying her 15 minutes of fame. That's not good enough. That judge should put her in jail for 30 days. I said 10 before, it should be 30 days. There should be a consequence to what she did, because she may single-handedly stick a stick in the wheels of the whole prosecution down there. We're going to the few people on the line right now. Try to get them both in at the end of the show. Start with Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Joe. What's your mind today?
Just want to return to a subject that you started our conversation with, which is Dan Kelly and his background in terms of access to the situation of the special or the fake electors in Wisconsin. I find it interesting that if you look in the articles, Andrew Hitt gave a testimony to the January 6th committee, so gave testimony. And he described that what Dan Kelly did was that he was a special counsel who had, quote, extensive conversations, that's plural, with an S, about this with the Republican Party. His campaign manager for the election, a guy named Jim Dick, said that he, quote, took a call and that he was not in the loop. Okay, Matt, you tell me, as a lawyer, isn't there kind of a difference between extensive conversations and a call? I'll await your response. Thanks.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. One guy did it under oath to the January 6th committee. And he spilled the beans. The other guy is shooting his mouth off. The fact is that Dan Kelly was one of the brains behind the fake electors. He cannot be permitted to be on the Supreme Court. He cannot be permitted to be on the Supreme Court. Took $120,000 for his efforts, $40,000 of it after he'd announced most recently in December. And I posed the question, is he still getting money? You are nothing but a paid. You might as well put Gableman on the Supreme Court. Joe, thanks a lot. Great call. Chris of Sun Prairie, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Chris?
Hi. I'm trying to understand what you were saying earlier. You said something about if he got on the court, that they would be able to impeach Tony Evers and Josh Call. Why can't they do that now?
If they did that now, right now they don't have two-thirds because Alberta Darling stepped down. And it is an empty
seat. Okay.
There's an empty seat.
Yeah, because I'm trying to figure that out. Yeah, okay, so now I get it.
There's
okay.
An empty seat. But April 4 is that election, Chris. And April 4, it's a gerrymandered seat for the Republicans. Now, I know Jody Habersynikin. She's a great lawyer and a great environmental lawyer, and she should win. I hope she wins. But she has a headwind. It's something like a 5 or 6 or 7 percentage advantage to the Republicans. That's like even a champion swimmer trying to swim into a 7-knot current against them. I don't care how good you are. That's very, very hard. So if this guy Knodel, who's bad news, Knodel is one of the ones, by the way, who wrote to Pence saying, don't certify Joe Biden. Knodel is for commie government, just like the Republican Party is now for commie government in this state. In this state, they are for commie government. This is not the Republican Party everybody remembers from their youth. And so if they get in, yeah, they can do it. Now, let's be blunt. Will they do it? Yeah, they're going to try to do it. Is there maybe one senator up north somewhere who thinks that's a little bit too far? People won't like that around here. I don't know. But I'm not going to depend on that. Janet Protasiewicz must win this race. She must win this race. And I think she will win this race. Coming to the end of the show. Great show, as always. Great callers, as always. Matt Flynn, Direct, will be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.